The title of today's sermon is Examples of Persevering Saving Faith. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to bow, but first let me just mention, I'm sure most of you or all of you will already know this, that there was an assassination attempt on former President Trump last evening. We're thankful he survived. I'd be saying the same thing if the attempt had been on Biden, the other candidate. But we're going to pray for both of them this morning for their safety and health and well-being through this process that we're in of figuring out who our next president's going to be. It might end up not even being one of those two. Now I'm getting too far, going too far into this. But let's find out and let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in your holy presence. We are so glad to submit ourselves to you and your divine providence, by which, according to which, we are here today. Thank you for blessing us so that we may gather freely and worship you with all our hearts and souls. We pray for salvation of sinners today. We pray for sanctification of saints. We ask, O God, that your word will move powerfully in our hearts, and that we will, from this passage, become in a greater way men and women and boys and girls of solid, saving, biblical faith. We thank you for preserving the life of our former President Trump. We ask, O Lord, that you might superintend and oversee the safety, the health, the well-being of both candidates as we go through this whole process. May your will be done. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Earlier in the letter, back in chapter 6, verse 12, the author exhorted them, us, to, quote, imitate those who inherit the promises through faith and persevering, 6:12. Imitate them. Well, what were they like? This is the chapter where he tells us. In fact, he finished chapter 10 by bringing up the subject of faith twice. Let's look back, 10:38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. 10:39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. And then he goes into chapter 11 and he defines faith, and then he gives us example after example after example. These examples are written for our instruction and for our admonition, that we might be like them. So Hebrews 11 is Old Testament biography and history, but it's not just like, oh, that's just history. What's that have to do with me? It's history for you so that you might imitate them. The people we're going to see today, imitate them. Oh, may God give each one of us such a heart that we would love to, that we desire to imitate them. Lord, make me like these great men and women of faith from days gone by. Let's look at verse 1. Here's a definition of faith. It's a good one because it's biblical. Now, faith is, what is it? It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's what faith is. It is the assurance. The Greek word really means more literally the substance, and the King James Version translates it that way. It's taking hold of something invisible, not yet seen, as if you're holding the very substance of the thing. That's what faith is. I've got it right here in my hand. I can't see it yet. I can't smell it, taste it, touch it, hear it, but I've got it right here in my hands. I so believe that Jesus shed his blood for the remission of my sins and that I am in Christ by grace. I so believe there's a heaven and a hell, and by grace I'm going to heaven, and this hope will not disappoint. I so believe that it's an assurance for me. It's like I have heaven in my hand. It's like I'm in heaven already. It's like I have it in my hands. My sins are forgiven. I can't see that, but I believe God. They are forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's the assurance. It is also the conviction. That word could also be translated, it is a persuasion. It is most literally, at its core, a firmly held belief. Here's a belief I hold firmly. I have a conviction. It's a conviction about things you've never seen. That's what faith is. I really believe the blood of Christ atoned for the sins of all his people, for my sins, because I've called upon him. I really believe there will be a last day and a judgment and a heaven and a hell. I have a conviction, a firmly held belief. This is written so that you might be men and women of conviction. Are you? Of firmly held belief. Men and women of faith in what? Things not seen. Faith is always about things not seen. If you've seen it, it's not faith, it's sight. But Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. I've never seen Jesus. I didn't see him on the cross. I've never seen his blood atoning for my sins. I've never seen the last day. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen hell. But I believe them. That's faith. So here is a very fine definition of faith. To strengthen it, to help it out, to add more to it. While we're defining faith, I want to jump over to Romans chapter 4 with Abraham for a moment. And there are three quick, terse definitions of what biblical faith is. Romans 4:18, in hope, God had promised him, you'll have a son. I'm old, Sarah's old, we can't have kids anymore. God promised this time next year you'll have a son. In hope, he believed against hope. What God said looked impossible and sounded impossible, but Abraham said, you know this thing, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Yeah. Abraham didn't really say that, unless he did and we don't know it. Romans 4:20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God. Well, I sort of believe, now I believe, then I don't believe. None of that. He believed. He had a conviction. God said it. I am sure. I am certain. I'm holding that son in my hands. Or again, Romans 4:21. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that's what you need. You need to be fully convinced that what God has promised through Christ, he is able to do, he will do. When you call upon his saving name. So back to Hebrews. So what have we seen? Faith is confidence that what God says is true. Faith is confidence that what God promises will be realized. And I want to ask you, do you have that kind of biblical faith? Do you have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Hebrews 11:2. For by it, that kind of faith, the people of old, the rest of the chapter, received their commendation. Now, what he's teaching us here is a very important thing in the chapter. Anytime anybody was commended by God in the Old Testament, even if it says nothing about their faith, we know they had it. You don't get commended by God unless you have that kind of faith, conviction, belief. So, we're going to go through the Old Testament. We're going to find people of whom God says nothing about their faith, but he commends them. And the author is going to rightly draw out of that, then they had faith. So they're going to be examples of faith because they were commended by God. Do you want to be commended by God? How about at the last day? There are some very important words that are going to be spoken, and you want to hear them spoken to you. It's a word of commendation from God to his people. Well done. That's figured according to grace. Good and faithful servant. We were faithful. We kept on believing. That's faithful. We kept on following. That's faithful. We did not walk away from Jesus Christ. We kept the faith. We ran the race. Good and faithful. You kept on believing me. And now I give you everlasting life. By it, the people of old receive their commendation, and by it, the people of now receive their commendation. Would God commend you because you have real, vital, sturdy, saving faith in Jesus Christ? But now we're going to get a litany of examples. Show me somebody. We're going to do that. Examples of people in the Old Testament who took God at his word and believed. And they're grouped in four categories, or we can at least group them in these four categories. Here's the first category. First, we're going to see a bunch of people who, from the time of creation down through Noah, that's also known as the ante means before, diluvian means the deluge, the flood, before the flood. The antediluvian period, creation through Noah, verses 4-7, that's where we are today. Then later, next week, Lord willing, we're going to see faith in Abraham and his heirs. That's the pre-Mosaic period of verses 8-22. Then, the week after that, Lord willing, we're going to see faith in Moses and those entering the land with him. That's verses 23-29. And then we're going to see, Lord willing, a running list of others post-Mosaic, verses 30-38. So we're going to go down through the chapter and see these four categories. First one today. Here's the faith these people had. Here's the faith these people had. These people had. These people had. Let's go to creation through Noah. We start at creation. He really starts in Genesis 1:1. By faith, Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now let me just tell you, because I think I loved this, and you might love it too. The phrase by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith occurs 18 times in this chapter. It's by faith that he did this. It's by faith that they did that. It's by faith that she did that. So that we would be like them. So that you would, by faith, do the things that honor and glorify our God. Let me show you. By faith occurs in verses 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 11, 17, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31. Yes, that will be on the quiz. So what is the chapter about? It's about by faith. It's about doing things in the name of Christ for the glory of God by faith. And so that we would be men and women who live and walk and act and talk by faith. All right, what do we see in this verse? By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God. That's true, right? Were any of you there? Was there any? Did you see it? Were you there? God asked Job, were you there when I created this, when I did that? Were you there? No, we weren't there. I'm looking around the room. I'm older than all of you, I think. Oh, all right. All right, there's one. Just a little bit ahead of me. Thanks for paving the way. I'm older than almost all of you. But I sure wasn't there at creation. So it's by faith. We didn't see it. That would be sight. It's by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. Why do you believe the universe is created by the word of God? I hope you do. Because of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe it. I believe it like Abraham believed. I believe it like Noah believed. I believe it like Abel believed. We're going to see them today. I believe it. The universe was created by the word of God. Just by the way, it's so interesting what we know from cosmology today. We understand the universe is way bigger and spooky and strange and mystical than they ever imagined. What they knew was enough. What they could see was enough. But we know so much more today. And when we say the universe was created, we also know today, here's what happened. They used to say, well, matter must have been eternal. This is what naturalists would say. Matter must have been here forever. Well, how do you even explain that? But matter must have been forever. But then the evidence came in, the data came in, the facts came in, and they were forced to say, no, it really looks like there was a time when it all began. There was nothing, and then there was something, and that became the universe. They resisted that. Einstein resisted that because of its, quote, obvious theistic implications, end quote. It's like, we don't want to go there because that looks like God. But they were forced to go there. So now they come up with wacky explanations, unbelievable explanations, like the great Stephen Hawking, the British physicist. He says that the laws of gravity themselves spawned, that's my word, creation. The laws of gravity created everything. How can such a brilliant man be so foolish? How can he be so confused? When you're trying to fudge the things of God, you have to get foolish. You have to get confused. The laws of nature didn't exist until God created nature. The laws of nature only govern nature that he created. The laws of nature have no power to create things. Gravity can't create the universe. Others say, I love this, there was nothing, and then there was a quantum fluctuation. A what? Where did that come from? What was it in? Because there's nothing. And then they start pulling whole universes out of their hat. No, we believe the universe was created. It had a beginning. It was created by the word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. What that means is there was nothing, capital N, nothing. And God, a personal being, at a point in time made a decision to create. There was really no time, that's confusing. There was no time, but at a point in eternity past, he decided, I'm creating everything that we have. You need a personal being to make a decision to change what had been for all eternity past. So God created things out of nothing, not out of things that are visible. Can you do that? Like if I come to your house and I'm hungry and you say you want some lunch and I say, yeah, and you say, what would you like? I say, how about make me a peanut butter jelly sandwich? Can you go, poof, and there it is. No, you have to start with peanut butter. You have to start with jelly. You have to start with bread. We have to start with stuff to make anything. God started with nothing. And he just spoke and it all came into being. Do you receive this? Do you believe this? Are you a man or a woman of faith? It will not do to take a smorgasbord approach to the word of God and say, well, I like the parts about Jesus and God's love, but I don't know about Genesis 1. No, take it all or leave it, all right? Genesis 1 is the word of God, and by faith we receive it. So the universe. Now we're going to turn to a whole bevy of individuals, but we'll only see a few of them this morning. Abel first, Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel. There's that phrase 18 times, by faith, by faith. By faith, it was by faith that Abel, quiz, what book and chapter are we in? Genesis chapter 4, thank you. All right, Genesis chapter 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. It was by faith that he did that. Through which he was commended. See, nothing in Genesis 4 says he has faith, but he was commended by God because God received his sacrifice. So he must have been a man of faith, the author's reasoning. By faith, he offered a more acceptable sacrifice through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him, the man, by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Hebrews 11:4. Where does he get all that? Genesis doesn't say one thing about Abel's faith. Where does he get that Abel had faith? Let's go back to Genesis and look at it. Genesis 4:3-5. Here it is. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering. Notice those words, an offering. He brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. So notice the difference. The difference is not that one brought vegetables and one brought animal. The difference is that one brought an offering. Like, I got to offer God something. What do I have? All right, that'll do. Piece of junk on my shelves. I'll offer it to God. It's an offering. Abel said, I need to offer something to God. He's getting the best. He's getting the first fruits. He's getting the fat because he's worthy. Indicating that Abel was a man of faith. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. Why would he do that? Because Abel was a man of faith. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. that came from faith. And it still speaks. It still speaks. The blood of Abel still speaks. Let Abel speak to you today. Have saving faith, real faith, in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Believe the word of God is the word of God. We sang earlier, I will build my life. Build your life upon it. Stand on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Be like Abel and not like Cain, an offering. Next, Enoch, Hebrews 11:5. By faith, there it is again, by faith, Enoch was taken up, Genesis chapter 5, so that he should not see death. That's interesting. How did that happen? We don't know. He's out walking one day and all of a sudden he went, shh. Didn't die. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. Straight up to heaven. There'll be a whole generation of believers who will do like that, that those who are yet alive when the Lord comes, and they'll be called up and so meet the Lord in the air and transformed into glorified saints on their way up. A whole generation will have this happen to them, but they'll be glorified. But Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, straight to heaven. And he wasn't found. What does that mean? Well, they were looking for, have you seen Enoch? I haven't seen Enoch. His wife, I don't know if he had a wife. His wife said, Enoch didn't come home tonight. Anybody seen Enoch? I'm worried about him. And they looked and they searched and they went everywhere he usually went. And he was nowhere because he was gone. Because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended at having pleased God. He pleased God. No one pleases God. You won't please God. God will not say well done to you unless you are savingly attached to Jesus Christ by faith. By real biblical saving faith. Nobody pleases God without that. Here's what this is supposed to do in you. Oh Lord, I want to be like Enoch. I want to be a man who believes, a woman who believes. I want to plant my feet on the word of God and with Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith and his finished work on the cross for sinners like me. By faith, I want to be like Enoch. How do we know Enoch had faith? Genesis 5 says nothing about his faith. Here's how we know. Here's a general principle. Hebrews 11, 16, or 6 rather, the next verse. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. So there are a lot of people in the Old Testament of whom it says he pleased God, or we see that he pleased God. His offering was accepted. The other guys wasn't. He pleased God. So what do we know about them? They were of faith. You can't please God unless you have faith. Real faith, biblical faith, saving faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God, and that's what you want. You want to draw near to God. You don't want to live far at a distance from God. He's God. You want to draw near to God, nearer to God. You want to live close to God, walk daily in his presence. Coram Deo. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. I believe. I can't not believe. Amen? You the same? How could I not believe there's a great God who created the heavens and the earth and sent his son to die for sinners? You must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him, not by works, but by grace. What does that mean? Why would you seek God? You have to believe there's something in it. There's a reward. There's something good that will happen. There's a benefit that will accrue to me if I seek God. There are enormous benefits, eternal benefits. Please seek God. Isaiah 58, seek him while he is near. He's near right now in the preaching of his word. He's here near right now in the assembly of the people where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there I am. Well, he's everywhere. Yeah, but he's there in a special way. The special presence of Jesus Christ, promised for the gatherings of God's people for worship. He is there. He is here. Jesus Christ is here with us. Oh, call upon him. Believe in him. Offer yourself a spiritual sacrifice to him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Let's go on to Noah. Noah, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, there it is again. By faith, Noah. Let me just pause there. Do you believe in the biblical account of Noah? I hope you do. Again, I hope you don't take the smorgasbord approach. I hope you're not hoodwinked by science so-called to think that a thing like the flood could not happen. Is God God or what? Is that a hard thing for him? Did he break a sweat trying to cover the earth in a flood and then remove it later? I hope you won't view Noah, Christ didn't view Noah, as a pious myth that teaches us some lessons. No, it's history. Jesus Christ believed it was history. Away with this nonsense. Well, I like Jesus. I don't know about Noah. I don't know about the Old Testament miracle. I don't know about creation. Well, wait, if you have Jesus, you have those things. Because Jesus had those things. So I hope you'll hang on to the flood. I hope you hang on to Noah's Ark. In fact, how many of you have been to Kentucky and visited the Ark? I want to go there. Yeah. You want to come with us? No. Because here's what I'm thinking. So now I'm getting off topic, but I'll do it anyway. So next June, Debbie and I will have our 50 wedding anniversary. And yeah, because I'm old, they know I need rest, and they give me 5 weeks of vacation. I am planning on taking off the entire month of June to celebrate our 50th anniversary, and that'll give us some time. Maybe one place we'll go in that week is go see the Ark. Yeah, I want to go there. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. Amen? Had he ever seen a worldwide flood? Did he live anywhere near an ocean? No, God said, build an ark. And listen, look at this next phrase. In reverent fear. Ooh, that's rich. In reverent fear. That's where you want to live. That's where you want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to live before God, in the presence of God. In reverent fear. He did what God said. He constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he, by the way, condemned the world. How? Well, they didn't get on the ark. They didn't believe. He condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah was saved by faith. He believed the word of God. He had a conviction of a thing not seen. God said it, I believe it. There's going to be a flood. I'm building the ark. And there they are all mocking him. Tee hee. Poor man's lost his marbles. He's building a great big boat. Hey, Noah, can I get on your boat? You're mocking him. He just kept on building and the flood came. So what an example of faith, Noah. Noah. So there's our first group, creation through Noah, the antediluvian group, verses 4 through 7. Now we're going to have some observations. That's what I'm calling them today. Here's observation number one. So I just want you to know that saving faith is not blind faith. Some of you maybe aren't Christians and you think, well, these people just have blind faith. Christianity just requires blind faith. It just calls for blind faith. No, blind faith is ridiculous. And the Word of God never calls for that. You're not expected to blind. It's like if I said to you, just believe that, hey, guess what? Believe me, I have more money than Elon Musk. Yeah, that's right. You want to see it. You don't have enough faith to believe that, right? You want to see, seeing is believing. So Saving faith is not blind faith for no reason. Well, I'm a Christian. Why? For no reason whatsoever. I just am. No, it's not that. Why did these patriarchs have the faith they did? Well, God spoke to many of them. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham wasn't out walking, and just for no reason at all, he said, I think God's going to give me a baby. I believe. No. God had spoken to him audibly, verbally, propositionally. Abraham, about this time next year, you'll have a son. He believed. Their saving faith was not blind faith. Their saving faith was rooted in the revelation that God made to them, in the word of God, in many cases, spoken to them. What about us? Well, we have the word of God, and we have the resurrection, and that was not done in a corner, and we have eyewitnesses, and we have, just plug in, do you have some apologetics books on yourselves? Plug them in right here. There are reasons to believe. We have a reasonable faith. But let me move on to observation number two. Ultimately, however, I want you to know you believe because God gave you faith. Why do you believe? It was granted to you. Why did they not believe? It was not granted to them. End the story. Ultimately, you believe because God gave you faith. That is to say, faith, saving faith, is a gift of God. That's why you have it and somebody else doesn't. Let me show you two quick passages where we would get that. These are two of the easiest ones to access. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that. All right, what's the nearest antecedent of that?
Faith.
But I think we can go back all the way, and everybody else does too. You can go all the way back to say the whole salvation, including the faith. And that not of yourselves. Could words be any more clear? You didn't generate the saving faith. The saving faith didn't come from you. You won't get to heaven and boast and say, the reason I'm here is because I had saving faith. And because I was smart and I figured out Jesus Christ, the Bible, the resurrection, the word of God, eternal life, saving faith. I figured it out. And that's why I'm here, because I'm smarter and I'm wiser, and because I turned my heart to God. No, you won't get there. It's by grace through faith so that no one would boast. No one gets to heaven and says, here's why I'm here, it's me. No, we all get to heaven and say, it wasn't me, it was him. His mercy, his sovereign grace. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, it is the free gift of God. God freely gives you saving faith. So here's what happens when you're saved. He regenerates you, so you're no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. And at that same moment, concomitantly, that's a cool word, you repent and you believe, and he grants you those. And you become a child of God. We see it again in Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe, let's stop there. So it has been granted to you to believe. I believe. Where'd you get that? God gave it to me. They don't believe. Where did they not get that? God did not give it to them. This is what the Bible teaches. It has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. So when you're saved, as God spoke to Abraham audibly, God speaks to you internally. He opens your ears. He opens your eyes. This is what the Bible, this is what we call illumination. It's the mental side, the noetic side of regeneration. Illumination gives you faith to believe that the word of God is the word of God. It enables you to see the Bible as God's word. Do you have that kind of faith? Have you been illuminated by the Holy Spirit so that you go, whoa, this book's from God. I know it is. I'm sure it is. I'll stand on it. I'll bet my, I'll not bet. What would be the right way to put this? Anyway, my life, that. Ultimately, you believe because God gave you faith. The Bible teaches that. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't boast. Here's an observation number three. All creation helps us with faith now more than ever. Now, all of creation has always helped the people of God, the people of the planet, with faith. We could read, for example, and I have a typo here, unless you fix it in the meantime. It's Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare, he fixed it, thank you. It was 119 in the early service, my bad. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. It goes on. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows forth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Anywhere you find humans, the heavenly voice is speaking. The heavens are declaring, and the firmament is showing. Creation has always helped us to have faith. You look at it and you're supposed to say, wow. You ever been in the high desert of, say, California? We've been. We used to drive to Lake Tahoe. I think I've told you this before. Drive to Lake Tahoe from Southern Cal. We were there 85 to 95. Drive to Lake Tahoe where some friends had a cabin. They let us stay there for a week. We'd get a vacation. On the way up to Tahoe, you go through the high desert of Central California, and our kids back in the third seat of our 9-passenger station wagon in the middle of the night, because we'd leave at 2 a.m. to avoid the heat and the traffic. And at 4 a.m., they're back there going, wow, look at the stars. So we pulled over, and we all got out. We all just stood there. Unbelievable. I wish we could see that in Maryland all the time. And when you see those stars, they declare the glory of God. But now with the telescopes we have, we can see so many more strange and spooky and weird and distant, distant, distant things. And the universe more than ever declares the glory of God. And it helps you to say, oh, I believe there's a God. I can't not believe. Paul picks up on this, Romans 1, 19 and 20. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. Let me ask you a question. When God wants to show people something, do you think he's very good at that? Or is he poor at showing things? No, he's God. He has shown it to them. What do you mean? For since the creation, everyone since creation has had access to this, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Paul, what a great phrase. Being understood by the things that are made. Even here's what you're supposed to see. Look at it all and say, wow, he is eternally powerful and he's God. He's divine. All creation is supposed to do that for you. And you never get away from creation. You're always living in it. You're always looking at it. It's always speaking to you so that they are without excuse. No one will arrive at the last day. Lord, I had no idea. I had no way of knowing that there was a God. Oh, no, you knew and you should have sought me. And now, again, we know more than ever. That's sufficient, what they've always known. But now we know things from cosmology and physics and biology, and we know way more than ever. We know that everything came from nothing, which again is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We know that sometimes phones ring in church. Somebody's embarrassed, I'm sorry. Don't want to embarrass you further. We know that everything came from nothing. We know that the fine-tuning of the universe is absolutely, amazingly, inexplicably, unbelievably fine-tuned. We know that the beginning of life, abiogenesis, is just impossible. Even with guys in labs with white coats on and all kinds of lab stuff, and they're claiming, oh, we made the building blocks of life. Life could have happened. No, far from it. The Uri Miller experiment, far from it. And we know that with the specified complexity we now know about in created things, like Exhibit A is your brain, is the human brain, the most complex thing we've found in the universe, that we're aware of in the universe. It's just unbelievable. You cannot tell me we started with a hot rock floating in space and eventually over time we wind up with a human brain. I'm not that dumb. I'm not that gullible. So this is not about blind faith. All creation helps us with faith now more than ever. Two quick final points. For it is this faith that God reckons to you as righteousness. And in our age, with more revelation, we have to believe in the greater part of that revelation, which is salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Oh, may you seek him, that he would give you saving faith by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Oh God, grant me that. Oh God, please give me that. Listen, I've said this before. Time, your life, time is given to you primarily for, the greatest purpose for, the greatest reason why you have time, the greatest use of your time is given to you to prepare for eternity. Time is given you to prepare for the last day. Time is given to you to draw near to God through our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing more important than that on the planet. And it's this faith, this kind of faith, that God will reckon to you as righteousness. And finally, point number five, it's this deep and abiding faith that causes you to stand. Remember what the book of Hebrews is really about. It's about standing with Jesus Christ, holding on to Jesus Christ, not walking away from Jesus Christ. And it's this deep and abiding faith that causes you to stand with Christ. Oh, may we have, oh, may you have this kind of biblical faith to the glory of God and the saving of your soul. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for this time in your holy word. We are praying for the salvation of sinners who are far from Christ. Oh Lord, have mercy upon them. Draw them even now by your word and your spirit. May they repent and believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. Thank you, Father, for revealing the Savior to so many of us, and we have called upon his name, and you have granted us everlasting life. And oh God, thank you, and we bless you that you have given us this great, undeserved, unearned gift. We offer ourselves afresh as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable in your sight. Have us, have me, Lord, have me. Have me. Do what you will with me, that I may glorify and honor you. And we pray for all in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Would you like to talk?